Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Show me thy paths, O Lord, and teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. And what follows, Psalter 60, the stanzas 3 through 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Corinthians 1. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to your word. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, and that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and if you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, and not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou wast granted by renewal in thy goodness, in thy mercy, and in thy long-suffering, that we may come up to thy house of prayer. Thou knowest how that each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, have come up. Wilt thou grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication, then the great need, when as a people we draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips, for that atoning, praying, and thanking high priest at thy right hand, whom thou always heareth. May it not only be a house of prayer, but also a house of thanksgiving. Thou hast exhorted thy church, given thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the day of tomorrow has been especially set aside, a day of thanksgiving, but, Lord, it ought to be a day of thanksgiving every day, and also every Sabbath day. To that end, wilt thou work lovingly, irresistibly with thy Spirit. Then also in this evening, then thou maketh a great difference where there is no difference, when we may be separated from most of the people upon the world, and that thou still granteth the desire, we feel our responsibility to place herself faithfully under the means of grace which thou wast promised to bless. For many in this day it was not possible. The persecuted church, which were called upon to remain in their home, or have gathered in forests or in caves in secret places with much fear and trembling. The country where the war continues, then also for many not possible, undoubtedly, many of the churches have been destroyed. Many are sick, many are afflicted, many spend day after day and year after year in prison. And, our Lord, then the great multitudes, the greatest part upon this world, that see no need, many family circles, where thy word is never opened, strange religions, that do not have thy word. And, our Lord, then thou hast still kept the truth under us, amongst us, and that surely is for a purpose, that is for the glorification of thy attributes. And, O Lord, impress upon all our hearts that thou shalt be glorified by all of us, also those that go lost, because they have not willed that thou be king over them, then thy justice shall be glorified. But, ah, Lord, work lovingly and irresistibly in the saving of sinners, where all thy attributes, also thy mercy, shall be glorified. It is a work of a triune God, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. To that end, wilt thou open thy precious testimony, wilt thou open our lips, and wilt thou open the hearts, that in this evening hour may be the set time by thee to shoot an arrow of love and conviction into the hearts of young and old, that they may be slain on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, to be given to ask thee, Lord, what must I do with the holy jealousy to receive a place in that sheepfold? Wilt thou spare that we built not upon false foundations? And where thou hast begun that good work, wilt thou grant further instructions through the valley of deeper uncovering, and to be led in the further mysteries of salvation, the work of a triune God? We humbly ask thee, bless thy holy word, O thou hast promised, that it shall not return void unto thee. And it is also declared in thy holy word that thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Wilt thou grant those special exercises with the burden, the need, a holy urgency, that thy word may be blessed in the church, in the family circles, and in our Christian school? We live in a time as Satan has but a short time, and the temptations are manifold, the necessity of the petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Bless thy word over the length and the breadth of the earth, upon mission fields, and remember also the Jewish people. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember our poor nation, and wilt thou remember our poor province. May there be amongst us, upon the ship, in the midst of the storms of the time, that there may yet be Jonas, even a few amongst us, that may be given to own their guilt, and cry yet mightily unto thee, the living God, that thou giveth not over everything to the hardening of the heart, which shall be followed by the judgment of destruction. And Lord, who shall live when thou doest these things? Wilt thou remember all the courts in different capacities? Remember all the judges, impress upon their hearts that one day they shall also be judged. Wilt thou remember our community? May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit richly upon our community. By renewal, we remember the manifold needs, widowers, widows, orphans, and all those that have brought loved ones to the cemetery. Remember the family circle that shall be called upon to go to the cemetery in this week. Remember the elderly ones, all the afflicted ones, the sick relatives. Remember the handicapped, the blind daughter that hopes to commemorate in this week that thou wast spared her for another year. Lord, wilt thou remember her in a special way? And then it is also necessary for each and every one of us that we are given spiritual eyes. Wilt thou remember her for body and soul, together with her loved ones? Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember the family circles. We commend unto the prodigal sons and daughters, Lord. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And bind the solemnity, the shortness, and the seriousness of life upon all our hearts, the certainty of death, of judgment and eternity, and that we need to be born again by thy Spirit. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Dwell richly amongst us, nothing to plead upon. May we be given to plead upon thy mercy and what thou hast promised in thy holy word, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? Hope in God, thy faith retrieving. Let him still thy refuge be. And what follows, Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, the question and answers 1 and 2. Question 1, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Question 2, how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? Answer 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Lord's Day number 1 speaks of the true Christian's only comfort in life and death, with 3 thoughts in the first place, an all-important question. Secondly, an exceedingly rich answer. And thirdly, an indispensable knowledge. The true Christian's only comfort in life and death. An all-important question, an exceeding rich answer, and an indispensable knowledge. Beloved congregation, it has pleased the Lord in a special providence to grant the Heidelberg Catechism unto his church. Our denomination has 3 doctrinal standards: the Confession of Faith, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort, never on an equal plane with the Scriptures, but subservient thereto, and to that end, in our Heidelberg Catechism, we have more than 700 proof texts to declare, to verify the answers of the instructors. It was in the time of Frederick III, also called Frederick the Pious. What a blessing and what a privilege it is for a country, because Frederick III, he was governor over the Palatinate, one of the seven provinces in Germany. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when it pleases the Lord to grant unto a country such a man that greatly feared the Lord, also with a God-fearing wife, and that was given to seek not his own, but given to seek the temporal and eternal welfare of the inhabitants of that country. In that respect, what solemn and serious times that we and our children live in, then surely the judgments are hanging low over the earth. We read in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 16, "Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child." And now it is grieved Frederick III that in his province, in the church, that there were divisions concerning the truth. Also the division among the Protestants, whom the Lord has brought out of the house of bondage, the difference between the Lutherans and the Calvinists. And therefore Frederick III, he has sought out two young men, Zacharias Enersinus, professor at the University of Heidelberg, and Caspar Olivianus, he was the court preacher. In those days, then kings and governments, they had ministers that would preach the word of God in the government buildings. They were not so old. Caspar Olivianus, 26 years old, and Zacharias Ursinus, 28 years old. And then it is very evident that these two young men, that they were taught from above, that they have been enrolled on the school of King Jesus, that they have been led clearly and also further in the mysteries of salvation, that the Lord has granted them special gifts to lay out for the church of God the way that the true people of God are led for examination, for instruction, for comfort, and for courage. And to that end, many times, then the Heidelberg Catechism is called the Book of Comfort for his church. In this Lord's Day, then we can find many connections, many similarities to Psalm 23, where in the fourth verse we read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me." And now the first question is, and that is a very important question for us and our children and boys and girls, then this question also comes to you. What is thy only comfort in life and death? then undoubtedly there are little boys and girls that think, what does that word comfort now mean? That means to be free from worries, free from distress, from cares, from pain, to be happy. To make it simple for our little boys and girls, then we have a kindergarten student that is going to school, that is instructed also by their parents, and then in the evening, after the parents have read something, spoken some words, and after you have bowed your knees, that they tuck you into bed on a very cold winter evening. When you look out of the window, snow, the wind howling, and that maybe you think, I hope that the cattle and the sheep and the birds and the deer, that they find a place of shelter. And now when you may be tucked under the blankets and you were given to please your teacher, the bus driver, and your parents, and that you have not been teased, I hope, boys and girls, that you do not do that, and that you have a bed, and that you have no pain, no headache, no stomach ache, not so many worries, then we may call that comfort. Then you may lie under those blankets after you have asked the Lord to keep you during the night. That is a comfort for the body. But then I think our boys and girls, they understand that more is necessary to be comforted. Because we have not only a body, but we also have a soul. We are traveling to eternity. And now to have that true comfort, because if we have not received a new heart, then there shall be great concern, because we are traveling to eternity, and our sins are manifold, and shall it be well, then we need a heart that loves the Lord, that fears the Lord, that hates sin, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I hope, boys and girls, now you have a little understanding what that word comfort means. And now there is asked, what is thy only comfort in life and death? That word I, that word thy, that implies that it is very personal. When the Lord grants it, then in the coming week, then house visitation begins, and the consistory always appreciates when the families do their best to accommodate everything. Of course, there can be promised commitments, there can be sickness. And then this question, that is what house visitation is about. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Then house visitation, that is heart visitation, and then of course also inquired concerning the diligent use of the means of grace. Fathers and mothers with their children to speak about God's word and family worship. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That question implies that there are many troubles, many afflictions, and much misery here below as a consequence of our deep fall in Adam, in our form for holy baptism, then there is spoken of a continual death. And in the form for marriage, that we are subject to many afflictions. We read of that longing of comfort in a special way by Lamech, the father of Noah, because when he is named his son Noah, then he has declared, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands. Then further, then in the first question, then that word only is mentioned. There are many comforts which the Lord grants in his common goodness, also in this dark and evil world, then we are called upon in the day of tomorrow to meditate upon all the comforts which the Lord has left amongst us and our children. And now concerning our comforts, because we all have a desire to have a comfortable life. And the natural man seeks their comfort in many ways. King Ahab has sought it in his riches, Haman in his honor, and Nebuchadnezzar with his city, the Pharisees with their religion, and the hypocrites, that they may have a name, that they may live. Then concerning lawful comforts, then Solomon has written in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, and also that it is good for a man to eat and drink, and to enjoy his labors, for it is a gift of God. And yet as Solomon, who was so rich, then he has sought also comfort in many outward things. Money was not an obstacle, but then we read in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2 and 12 verse 8, it is vanity of vanities. It is all vanity. And then, alas, how many seek their comforts in very sinful things through ear gate, through eye gate, alcohol, drugs, and different ways. What is thy only comfort? Then we are all seeking for comfort, and many times a special comfort, and not to despise what the Lord gives. When we think of family circles, when there is love, when God's word may have a place, what a great blessing, where we live in a time where the love of many is waxing cold. Thus not to despise, then it is so necessary each time by renewal that we may be given to pause and to consider all the comforts which the Lord so freely and liberally granteth, which we take so for granted, and to consider who receives those comforts, and that is a people that has sent everything away. What is thy only comfort in life? Then in this evening hour, if we would go from bench to bench and from person to person, and then many different answers from our children, from our young people with a desire to receive a future spouse, to be married, a family, daily bread, a little prosperity in this world. But now the question is not only in this evening hour, what is thy only comfort in life? And the Lord grants many comforts in life. And also concerning the sheep of the Good Shepherd, then we have quoted out of Psalm 23, verse 4, that the sheep was given to testify, that the shepherd comforteth the sheep. But now we read, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And that for many a comfort in this life. Then the thought shall multiply. What a privilege it is when there are those times when we do not have so many trials, so many difficulties in our life. And a greater blessing, of course, when according to Romans 2 verse 4, may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance, that the Lord's blessings by his common goodness, that he bring us closer to this word, more at the throne of grace, more dependent, to be given to see the giver of all good. But now to be given to think of our comforts, a dear wife, a dear husband, dear children, that it is only for a time. And we know that those comforts, those blessings, they can be taken away in such a short moment. And further, it shall be experienced concerning those comforts. Visit the old people. Possible, many and great possessions. But at the end, when we become frail, when we become feeble, then it can even be that we are not enabled to enjoy all those blessings. And what else? Then it is evident in this world that the daily comforts, the blessings of the Lord in daily life, that they cannot truly satisfy and make us happy. And I know young people, when we hear those things, then we think, but with me it shall be different if I may receive this, that. We have mentioned a few desires, good desires, lawful desires of our young people. If that may take place, then I shall be happy, then I shall be comforted. But it is evident in this world, as an old minister has stated, that a round world can never fully fill and satisfy a triangular heart. And we are traveling to eternity. We are not an animal with only a body, but we have a body and a soul. And our soul needs to be saved. There are two ways, there are two destinations, and there are two peoples. And to that end, what a profound and what a deep question that the instructors were given to ask at the beginning of this catechism. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And that question that requires an answer in this evening hour. And boys and girls, what is now your answer concerning this question? Have you now received a new heart from the Lord? You ask for it every day. Have you now received a new heart from the Lord? That is the comfort that is spoken of in the first Lord's Day of our Heidelberg Catechism. Young people, what is thy only comfort in life and death? The question comes to the older ones. Our second thought, an exceeding rich answer. Let us first sing Psalter 234, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, my God, my joyful heart, will give thee praise forevermore. For rich in grace to me thou art, my soul from death thou didst restore. And what follows, 234, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. the true Christian's only comfort in life and death. An all-important question, an exceeding rich answer. Then, Lord's Day number one, that is an introduction to the furtherance of the catechism. And then what a rich answer it is, young and old. How is it now in this evening concerning that answer? That makes the separation between death and life. And then the instructors, we can feel it. We can taste it. All with the vehement desire to arouse young and old to a holy jealousy, that many souls may be brought on their knees to ask the Lord, "Ach Lord, may it please thee to grant that comfort. Oh, make a beginning in my life, that I may even be the smallest lamb in the sheepfold of that good shepherd." And where the Lord has begun, that it may be used for further uncovering, a further instruction, encouragement, and comfort, were also on this Lord's Day, that the instructors have a vehement desire that that name of that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, may be extolled to the highest as the way back to the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the answer which the instructors have given, that is Trinitarian. That I, with body and soul, that tells us that we are also called upon to take care of our bodies. The creation of God so wonderfully and fearfully made. When we think of the world concerning their body, then the world, what do? They poke holes in their body. And how many people in our day are covered with tattoos? May the Lord keep us as a separate and a simple people. When the Lord impresses upon our heart who the Lord is and who we are, then it shall be so. And then we read, it seems, that the first answer in our catechism, that Caspar Olivianus, a man that was converted, that greatly feared the Lord, oh, he has been in prison for the true sake, living in a time of persecution, and when he was walking upon this world with soul struggles, then there was an old priest that is said to Caspar Olivianus in such a fatherly way, we can hear it, a heart full of love, that has pointed Caspar to that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Then that old priest has said, "My boy, ye never forget that God's people of all ages, even in the Old Testament, found their only comfort in life and death in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Then our answer in this evening, then it reflects that answer that that old priest has given to that young Caspar Olivianus, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a rich answer. I am not my own. A great wonder has taken place. The irresistible work of God, free and sovereign grace. In paradise, we have given ourselves to the devil. But now the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by his Spirit, then a soul may speak that has been wrought upon by that irresistible grace, am not my own, and that is through the election of the Father, the purchase of the Son, the work of regeneration, and the application of the merited salvation to such a soul. Then the instructors, they may speak with that assurance of faith. All may there be souls that may turn this question into prayer at the throne of grace. But belong, then it is clear in this answer, an introduction, and then this answer is further explained and declared in the further Lord's Day, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood, oh, that precious blood, by whom it was shed, for whom it was shed, and the power of that blood, because they read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Oh, no sinner too black, no sinner too vile, no sinner that has sinned too long, but in this faithful Savior there is a way declared for us and our children, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved, who with this precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, does not say from the temptations and from the assaults and from the mockery, but from the power of the devil, the lion out of the tribe of Judah. Oh, what precious truths. Then we read in our catechism that the devil is mentioned in the first Lord's Day, and we have heard in the last Lord's Day, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Where's that further explained in our catechism? We should all know the answer, not the little boys and girls, but all older ones. In Lord's Day number 10, concerning the providence of the Lord, and then the instructors, they have mentioned something very little. The hairs of our head, they are all numbered, by the Lord. The instructors have mentioned something very small to imply that, of course, the greater things are all included. We read in Matthew 10, verse 30, that they are all numbered. And then further, yea, that all things, what does that all things include? That includes blessings, prosperity. Also, when the shepherd leads his sheep and lambs through the valley of the shadow of death, it is true, when the sheep are in that valley, when they hear the wolf howl, when they see the shadows of wild beasts, when the pathway becomes so narrow, when they look in the deep ravines, when they see the cliffs, then their fears can be manifold. But I read in John 13, verse 7, that Christ has said to his disciples, "What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." Thus all things, prosperity, adversity, it shall all be for the advantage of the true child of God. Oh, then we understand that the instructors in this answer are given to speak of the assurance of faith. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. The beginning is here in the time. And how does the Spirit now assure his child? Then in the first place, by the marks of grace, which the Lord has written in his holy word. In the second place, by shedding that love abroad in the heart. Further, by speaking a special word of promise to their soul, and by the testimony of the Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 8, the verses 15 and 16. And further, and let that be for examination, for each and every one of us, because we read in the Bible, O Christ, in Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in the verses 24 through 27, then we read of a wise builder, and we read of a foolish builder, and they both thought that they had a house that would stand. And in Matthew 25, when he was addressing his disciples, his 12 disciples, in the verses 1 through 13, then he has spoken of 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. And to that end, with the instruction out of the catechism, then it is declared the way according to the scriptures that he holds with his people. And now concerning those 3 matters, we shall only mention them in this evening hour, because concerning such rich blessings, then it should be the concern for each and every one when we hear that answer, "Lord, how may now I become partaker of that blessing? What is now necessary to be partaker of those riches?" Oh, we may see it in this evening hour that the instructors, as it was a cabinet, the jewels of the covenant of grace, the blessings which the Lord has merited and which he grants unto his people. And then the instructors have said, in the first place, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how we shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. And each and everyone in this evening knows can be many questions, can be many riddles, can be many perplexities, but each and every one knows what their heart goes out after, whether it is only for the things of time and sense, or whether our heart truly goes out after the living God. The love of God shed abroad in our heart that we have learned in beginning who the Lord is, high and lifted up, majestic and glorious, just and good doing, and what sinners we are. And when the Lord works that wonderful work, then we receive a love for the Lord, for his word, for his house, for his day, for his people, and for his institutions. And then, henceforth, let us mention Saul, when the Lord has felled him on the way to Damascus by his grace, when he has fallen to the ground, then he has said, Lord, what wilt thou that me have me to do? Thus, that is the examination. Ah, the Lord has a people, a willing people, that childlike fear that has the vehement desire to please the Lord, to walk in his ways, makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Ah, that becomes their life. And then they shall learn, 'tis the work of the Holy Spirit to bring his people to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. The third, how we shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. In the day of tomorrow is a day that has been set aside, a day of thanksgiving. Shall be 3 years ago tomorrow that the whole congregation has come up for Thanksgiving Day. We know there are mourning ones amongst us. There are afflicted ones. There is adversity. The Lord has sent a hailstorm, the consequences of which are still felt. Nevertheless, the Lord grant us so many reasons to come up to his house. May the Lord grant exercises to that end. Because of self, we are such unthankful creatures. What a blessing it is in this dark and evil time that there may still be a day set aside to that purpose, to that end. May the prayers be multiplied for us and our children to be given to beg for the work of the Spirit, to receive a broken and a humble heart with a vehement desire that the Lord may indeed receive thanks. The Lord grant liberal hearts. Boys and girls, have you thought about it already? When you go to your piggy bank tomorrow morning, how much you shall give, because for our little children has the Lord not been good? You can ask your father and mother. We have read in this morning hour out of Psalm 107, we have only read the first 15 verses, but four times the psalmist is given to exclaim, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The Lord bring us together in the day of tomorrow to that end." Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, the opportunity, the privilege, and the blessing that we and our children could come up to thy house and yet a few words to speak. Then in this evening hour, we have heard of rich things, and who was able to declare the breadth, the width, the height, and the depth of the riches of free and sovereign grace, our Lord, do arouse to a holy jealousy. May there be many in this evening that may seek out a secret place and cry unto thee. Well, thou bring us safely to our homes. Give meditations upon thy word. Give some rest for our bodies and for our minds. And give that desire to come up to thy house. Oh, even in an outward way, but oh Lord, thou requires more. We have heard it henceforth. Be willing and ready to live unto him. Work then mightily, lovingly by thy Spirit. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in speaking and in listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 202, the stanzas 1 and 3. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. And what follows, Psalter 202, the stanzas 1 and 3. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.